Boeing may suffer at the hands of its 787. The presidential Hilo fleet adds tilt wings. And wreckage of a downed twin otter is found in Antarctica. This is Aero News for Tuesday, January 29, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. With the NTSB saying it is in the early stages of its investigation of a battery fire aboard a JAL Dreamliner, some analysts are looking at the potential impact of the probe on Boeing as a company, and they are not optimistic. While investors are not yet shedding the plane maker's shares, Carter Leak, an aerospace analyst with BB&T Capital Markets, told Reuters recently that if the investigation drags into 6 or 9 months, airlines may begin canceling orders for the new airliner. The initial reaction from Wall Street, Boeing's value has dropped only about 2.5% since the problems cropped up, seems to indicate there is confidence that the issue will quickly be identified and that the fix will be relatively inexpensive. But a lengthy probe could mean production cuts for the Dreamliner, and that raises concerns, according to Moody's Investors Service analyst Russell Solomon. Boeing had planned to increase production to 10 airplanes per month by the end of this year. Cuts in production would also likely spread through the plane maker's supply chain. Another concern is that the eventual solution to the problem may add weight to the aircraft, decreasing its gains in fuel efficiency. Boeing still has strong orders, of course, for its other airplanes, such as the Workhorse 737, and the company gets as much as 40% of its revenue from its defense sector. Analysts say that could help mitigate problems stemming from the 787 investigation, but Leak said that it would be enormously expensive for Boeing to slow its production and then bring it back up to its current levels. Marine Helicopter Squadron 1, charged with operating the fleet of presidential helicopters known as Marine 1, is preparing for delivery of its first MV-22 tilt-wing rotorcraft. Aircraft 197, the first MV-22 assigned to the squadron, made its initial flight, hovering over the runway at the Bell Boeing V-22 assembly plant in Amarillo, Texas, on January 22nd. The aircraft was performing a governmental test flight prior to its expected delivery to the Marine Corps next month. The aircraft engine nacelles and tail empennage are painted in the iconic green of the presidential squadron. The remaining parts of the aircraft will also be painted before delivery. More than a dozen MV-22s, the Marine Corps variant of the V-22 Osprey, will be assigned to the squadron HMX-1. The MV-22s will be assigned to the Executive Support Squadron, providing logistics and passenger support to Marine 1 flights, and will be responsible for flying VIPs to various locations in and around Washington, D.C. It is not expected that the president will fly on the aircraft. The MV-22s will replace the CH-46Es operating with the squadron. The wreckage of a twin otter aircraft that was reported missing last week in Antarctica has been found in a remote and mountainous area of the continent. An initial assessment by Ken Borick Air Limited of Calgary, Canada, the owner of the plane, deemed the crash not survivable. The National Science Foundation, as a manager of the U.S. Antarctic Program, has been cooperating with the Rescue Coordination Center in Wellington, New Zealand, since the search and rescue effort to locate the missing aircraft, a de Havilland DHC-6 twin otter, began last week. Communication with the twin otter was lost on Wednesday night, New Zealand time, and search and rescue operations have been hampered by bad weather and poor visibility since then. The plane was flying in support of the Italian Antarctic Program under the logistical responsibility of the Italian National Agency for New Technologies, Energy, and Sustainable Economic Development. The aircraft was en route from NSF's Amundsen Scott South Pole Station to the Italian Research Station at Terra Nova Bay when contact was lost. The three crew members were the only people aboard the plane at the time. Rescue teams have set up a small camp some 31 miles from the crash location and will attempt to reach the site if weather conditions permit. The UK Air Accidents Investigation Branch has released a report on an accident in which an AW-109 helicopter struck the jib of a construction crane, fatally injuring the pilot and a pedestrian. You may recall that story. We reported it here earlier. The collision occurred at a height of approximately 700 feet in conditions of reduced visibility. The pilot, who was the sole occupant of the helicopter, and a pedestrian were fatally injured when the damaged helicopter impacted a building and adjacent roadway. The transcript depicts a fairly normal conversation between the pilot and Thames ATC, After climbing to 1,500 feet AGL a few minutes before 0800 local time, the pilot was asked by the controller if he needed an IFR transit through some fog. The pilot replied, quote, "I have good VMC on top, that's fine," end quote. ATC gave the pilot a contact frequency, at which point the pilot began a right-hand turn and impacted the construction crane. The report indicates that the pilot was advised by a fellow pilot via calls and text messages not to attempt the flight until some heavy fog had lifted, but the accident pilot said he had already started his engines. When AeroNews continues, it's spam in a can, but this time from Iran. Protecting choppers from ice, and bees buzz a quadcopter.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, January 29th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The Islamic Republic of Iran says it has taken another step toward becoming a spacefaring nation by launching a monkey into space and recovering the animal live after a suborbital flight. The news was reported by the Arabic language television station Al Alam and relayed to the UK newspaper The Telegraph. Defense Minister Ahmed Vahidi is quoted as saying the flight, quote, is the first step toward man conquering space, and it paves the way for other moves, end quote. He later said putting a human into space would be a lengthy process. Still images aired by Iranian state television reportedly show workers putting a vest on the monkey and strapping it into a device that resembles a child's car seat. The flight reportedly achieved an altitude of about 75 miles. This is at least the second attempt by the Islamic Republic to launch a monkey into space. The first acknowledged attempt was in 2011, and it was not successful. No explanation was ever offered by the Tehran government. Iran has been aggressively pursuing launch capability, it says, to be able to boost domestic satellites into orbit for telecommunications and Earth monitoring uses. The program is viewed by Western governments, however, as an effort to develop the ability to launch nuclear weapons on long-range missiles, and has been almost universally condemned. The FAA has posted a special airworthiness information bulletin for the owners and operators of turboshaft-powered rotorcraft concerning the possibility of in-flight engine loss of power due to the ingestion of ice and/or snow. Accumulation of ice or snow can occur in the area of the airframe engine inlet while the rotorcraft is on the ground or in the air. The SAIB describes procedures to reduce the probability of an engine in-flight shutdown due to ice or snow ingestion and is intended to remind owners and operators that most helicopters are not approved or equipped for flight into icing conditions. Apparently, icing is not an issue for an aircraft like NASA's long-duration balloon, which has just set a new record for longest flight by a balloon of its size. The record-breaking balloon, carrying the Super Trans-Iron Galactic Element Recorder, or Super Tiger experiment, has been afloat for 46 days and is on its third orbit around the South Pole. Super Tiger launched December the 8th of last year from the long-duration balloon site near McMurdo Station, Antarctica. The massive 39 million cubic foot scientific balloon carries the 6,000-pound Super Tiger payload, equivalent to a large sports utility vehicle, at a float altitude of 127,000 feet, more than four times the altitude of most commercial airliners. Size-wise, more than 200 blimps could fit inside of this balloon. The Super Tiger flight shattered the previous record of 41 days and 22 hours, previously set in 2005. The Super Tiger team plans to fly another 8 to 10 days to have the balloon fly closer to McMurdo Station before terminating the flight and recovering the experiment. Well, the television producer operating the quadcopter in West Palm Beach, Florida, said it looked a bit like a scene from Star Wars. While flying a small drone to get overhead images of a mall being demolished, the aircraft was beset upon by a swarm of bees. The bees apparently didn't like the small aircraft taking pictures any more than an ardent member of the ACLU. Not only did they attack the aircraft, but they went after the operator, identified as WPEC-TV's operations manager, Carr Pugliese. CNN reports that Pugliese said he was on the ground swatting at the bees when he looked back at his iPhone to see them attacking the drone. As he went to land the aircraft, the bees followed and chased Pugliese and his photographer Chad Ellington back into their vehicle. And some of them got into the car, so Pugliese had to open the door to let them escape. Both were reportedly stung several times, and Pugliese was forced to land the drone from inside the car. He said several of the bees were hit by the quadcopter's props, which created quite a cleanup project when the episode was over. I'm Glenn Moyer. With that, you're now cleared for departure.